It's here.
Still on his feet. Left side touchdown.
The wait is over.
Throws it up in traffic and it's intercepted.
High school football begins now. .9 FM, WCHL Championship Sports, and Merritt Store and Grill present the High School Football Game of the Week. All season, join Anthony Wellman, Jeff Hamlin, Paul Connell, and Walter Storholt for twice the games on 97.9 FM and streaming live on WCHL's website, chapelboro.com.
Got a man, right sideline, 20, 10, 5, touchdown.
WCHL Championship Sports High School Game of the Week is presented by Mark Vitale Nationwide Insurance in Chapel Hill. And in Hillsboro, AAI Nationwide Insurance.
Go on his feet, left side, touchdown.
Get ready for all the action, all the excitement, and exclusive coverage you can't find anywhere else. High school football kicks off now. Here's your host, Walter Storholt.
And good evening and welcome to Raleigh. We are on the road this week as the Cedar Ridge Red Wolves prepare to take on the Cardinal Gibbons Crusaders in what should be a very fun first conference matchup of the year between these two squads. This is an absolute beautiful stadium that we will have the pleasure of taking in this game tonight. We'll describe it for you coming up momentarily. It is a gorgeous night. The sun is setting directly across from where we are atop the press box here at Cardinal Gibbons. A fantastic atmosphere when you make your way into this place with tailgating abounding, and I had a hard time finding a parking spot on my way in today. Folks are ready for this game. It's a fun atmosphere, but Jeff, as we get ready for tonight's contest, it's one that the 0-4 Cedar Ridge Red Wolves will need to not be impressed by. They'll need to not be intimidated by the formidable atmosphere that they create here at Cardinal Gibbons High School.
Absolutely, and these two teams are familiar with one another, Walter, because they played 12 times since Cedar Ridge was created as a high school back in 2000. And Cedar Ridge has actually won 5 times out of 7 contests, out of 12 contests against the Crusaders, but their luck hasn't been very good recently because they've lost 4 in a row to this Cardinal Gibbons team. More to the point tonight, Cedar Ridge comes into this contest 0-4, while Cardinal Gibbons comes into their conference opener 3-1. And from the word go, this is a Cedar Ridge team, Walter, I think that's been looking for an identity, because they were expecting to have Josh Keel as a quarterback going into the summer, but then Josh Keel wound up transferring to Orange, and that left Peyton Pappas as the starting quarterback, and he had to get ready immediately. And Pappas has had a pretty good year throwing the football, but it's been on the ground where the Red Wolves have had a lot of trouble. Last week against Riverside, they had only 56 yards rushing. And then in the game right before that against East Chapel Hill, they were also hampered. They only had 28 yards rushing against the Wildcats. They've only broken 100 yards rushing one time this year, and that came against Southern Vance. So this is a Cedar Ridge team that's going to have to get something established on the ground, but it won't be easy because this is a Cedar Ridge team that's playing, a Cardinal Gibbons team that's playing on its homecoming tonight, and they are very, very deep, especially defensively.
Alumni check-in table was quite busy on the way in. A lot of folks coming back for this game. As we mentioned, the cookouts were numerous. They do tailgating right here at Cardinal Gibbons.
Absolutely.
They had like trivia going on out there. They had an electric guitar. A whole band was rocking and rolling and performing. They had all sorts of fun stuff on the way in. The quad, I guess you could call it, out in front of Cedar Ridge High School was full of folks just throwing the frisbee. It's a great atmosphere. The fans are already filing in to the stadium, getting ready. And speaking of that stadium, beautiful turf field here. Fantastic numbering and lettering on the field. Now, it is marked as well for lacrosse and probably a couple of other sports, maybe even a field hockey field that it's doubled with. It holds up very well having all those sports play on it, but those other markings are out there. Kind of adds actually to the fun. You throw some reds out onto the field,
that's
with
right,
some blacks and yellows, and just kind of adds an extra element here. But a beautiful tree line across from where we are surrounds the outside of this beautiful stadium. We're in the press box right now, but the stands on this side of the field, just to kind of draw you a picture in case you've never been here before to Cardinal Gibbons High School, when you walk up into the stands, it feels like you're going into one of those big football stadiums. Mm-hmm. You kind of walk up that elevation. East Chapel Hill has that element to it as well when you enter in from underneath the bleachers like that.
Yeah, the bleachers here rise very sharply, and you're going to see a lot of fans here tonight because even as we're standing up top and we're high above the stadium here tonight, Walter, there are a good number of fans still tailgating. So if there's such a thing as a homecoming sellout, we're going to have it here tonight because the home side of the grandstand is about halfway full now, and they're probably good at least 200-300 fans still waiting to file in. Plus the Carolina Hurricanes, we can also see the RBC, or I should say the PNC Arena, just across the way here. And the Hurricanes have an exhibition game, so there's a lot going on here in North Raleigh tonight. And one thing that Cardinal Gibbons is very good at doing is lighting up the scoreboard because they have a name that a lot of North Carolina fans will recognize. Behind center, Sean Stankavage. He is the son of Scott Stankavage, the former UNC quarterback who played under Dick Crum. And Mr. Stankavage, if you're listening tonight, best wishes to you, and thank you for tuning into ChapelBurl.com. But his son is an all-around athlete because he not only played football and is in his second year starting here as the quarterback at Cardinal Gibbons, but he's also the leading passer and the leading rusher on this team. So there's a lot of offense that goes through him tonight, Walter. And just like Cedar Ridge, Cardinal Gibbons doesn't always do an awful lot on the ground. This is a vertical-oriented team, so this could be a shootout.
Yeah, it absolutely could. So far on the season, when you look at what Cardinal Gibbons has been able to do through their first four games of the year, they've put a lot of points up on the board. Not so much in their first game against Green Hope. That was a little bit more of a defensive fest. A lot of kinks in the first game of the season to be worked out there. It was a 14-12 win over the neighboring Cary Green Hope team, and then they played Cary High School, the Imps, on the road and did lose that game 47-26, but they've started to really turn it on offensively recently. 49 points against rival Ravenscroft, and then on the road at Broughton, 135-28. So they do have the ability to put points up on the board. Whereas for Cedar Ridge, Jeff, it's just a story of not being able to put together a full four quarters of football. They've been close in a lot of contests this season, just can't quite come out on the winning end.
Well, their last three losses have come by 7 points or less, including a loss last week to Riverside. And Walter, we talked at length this year about how deep this Big 8 conference is going to be. Cedar Ridge is going to start this schedule off with an absolute killer trio of games. They have a road contest tonight. By the way, this is their third consecutive road game. Yep. They had tilts and Henderson against Southern Vance. Then they played Riverside last week in Durham. And then right after they finish up with this one, next week it's their cross-county rival Orange. And then after that, or I should say it's going to be Northwood after that. And then right after that, it will be the big rivalry game with Orange. So you're talking about three teams that could win this conference lined up in a row for the Red Wolves to play.
Tough road to hoe for the Red Wolves, but they could make a statement and get on the right track in conference play tonight with a win that would really shock the conference and make the rest of the year very exciting for everybody involved. They're getting prepared for the national anthem here, so we will step aside here from Raleigh. Coming up next, we'll get you ready for the kickoff between the Cedar Ridge Red Wolves and the Cardinal Gibbons Crusaders. That's coming up here on High School Football on WCHL and ChapelBurl.com.
Mark Vitale's All About Insurance Agency has taken care of families and businesses in Chapel Hill since 1993. All About Insurance carries every line of insurance you and your family would need. Auto, home, renters, commercial insurance for businesses large and small, life insurance and 401k plans, plus health care insurance. In fact, All About Insurance carries the absolute lowest rates for new young drivers. So call AAI today at 919-933-4000 or go online at allaboutinsurancenc.com.
Hello, I'm Jeremy Salemson, Chief Executive Officer of Corporate Investors Mortgage Group, and I'm proud to lead Chapel Hill's only locally owned mortgage bank. Home mortgage interest rates remain at historic lows, so whether you're looking to purchase the home of your dreams or simply looking to refinance your existing mortgage, Corporate Investors and I are here to help you every step of the way. Call us at 929-6116 or visit us on the web at CIMGINC.com. Go Heels!
Fitch Lumber and Hardware has been around for a century because they pay attention to their customers. They've got everything you need for your home projects, large and small, and take time to offer you as much or as little advice and helpful tips as you need. The staff is experienced, knowledgeable, and available when you need assistance. Just one of the reasons they've been voted best hardware store in Orange and Chatham counties for 4 years in a row by the Independent Weekly. And Fitch Lumber and Hardware is right here in downtown Carrboro, so stop by or give them a call at 942-3153.
Are you a weekend warrior? Along with the fun of being active comes the risk of injury. This is Dr. Harry Stafford, Director of the Primary Care Sports Medicine Fellowship here at UNC, as well as a UNC team physician. And for those times when your knee gets injured, your Achilles is hurt, your back goes out, or if you've got a shoulder injury, UNC Family Medicine is a great choice for fast and easy treatments, including cutting-edge platelet-rich plasma injections and much more. I invite you to find out more on our website, uncfamilymedicine.org. UNC Family Medicine, here for all weekend warriors.
Back at Cardinal Gibbons High School as we get ready for the national anthem to be played here. And then it's kickoff time between the Crusaders and the Cedar Ridge Red Wolves. That's coming up next right here on Chapelboro.com.
Mark Vitale's all of...
I'm Edward Holmes, president of Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. By now, you've heard about our fountain drinks made with 100% filtered water served at a chilly 34 degrees with our chewy ice. They're guaranteed to taste great and only 79 cents every day. Right now, we're giving you the opportunity to win free fountain drinks for a year. Simply visit our Facebook page and look for the contest icon. Contest runs through September.
Cruisers, good to go.
You may already know that AT&T is the nation's fastest 4G LTE network. And now, independent third-party research has confirmed that AT&T is also the most reliable 4G LTE network. What does that mean for you? Whether you're connecting with family and friends, getting the job done at work, or simply looking for entertainment, you want a wireless network you can count on. That's why AT&T built the nation's fastest 4G LTE network, and we're not the only ones saying it. PC Magazine recently ranked AT&T's LTE network as the fastest overall, and PC World stated that AT&T's LTE service is the fastest 2 years running. Not surprisingly, that same lightning-fast network is now the most reliable as well. AT&T, the nation's fastest and now most reliable 4G LTE network. Rethink possible. AT&T reminds you to never text and drive. It can wait.
Speed claim compares national carriers' average 4G LTE download speeds. Reliability claim compares data transfer completion rates on nationwide 4G LTE networks. 4G LTE not available everywhere.
If you're looking for the kind of primary care you deserve, join the all-new Duke Integrative Primary Care Practice. For a modest annual fee, you will have expert physicians who give you all the time you need to discuss all the health concerns you have, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. To learn more or attend a free information session, visit DukeIntegrativeMedicine.org. Duke Integrative Primary Care, transforming your health and your life. Only minutes from Chapel Hill, open to all and now accepting insurance.
Welcome back to the home of the Crusaders. It's Cardinal Gibbons High School. Walter Storholt and Jeff Hamlin with you as we get ready for tonight's kickoff between Cardinal Gibbons and the Cedar Ridge Red Wolves from Hillsboro. Captains getting ready to meet at midfield. It'll be Cedar Ridge wearing the intimidating black uniforms, black helmets tonight, Jeff, with green, that dark green lettering on black creates an imposing look for them tonight as they'll walk out hands embraced to midfield. And as you mentioned earlier, sort of an Alabama type uniform look for Cedar Ridge with the red helmets and then white jerseys with red lettering and trim. We have we were mentioning the great facilities here at Cedar here at Cardinal Gibbons as well. Digital play clocks.
That's right.
Very rarely do you see that in high school, and that'll make, I don't know, does it add anything extra to a team like Cedar Ridge, who's not used to playing on fields having that digital play clock? Does it add a little something to them?
I think it helps them out, and I think it certainly helps Cardinal Gibbons, because Cardinal Gibbons really has a type of offense that really relies on the quarterback, and you're constantly looking at that play clock to figure out where things stand in terms of where you are in terms of trying to snap the football, and you can't always rely on an official, because when usually at most high school fields, you just rely on an official's play clock, and you can't see that. You just, when your delay of game is called, you wind up having a flag thrown out of nowhere. Here you get a much more empirical sense of where things stand, and I think it has to help both teams. There's no question about that. One thing that's going to be interesting tonight, Walter, in regards to this Cardinal Gibbons team, is we might see Dante DiMaggio in the game. He's the backup quarterback. In fact, last year, Stan Cabbage, the starting quarterback, tore his ACL in the first round of the state playoffs, and then he was unable to go, obviously, for the second round. DiMaggio was in a competition with him last year for the starting job. He wound up stepping in for him as the quarterback for their second-round playoff game, but Cardinal Gibbons wound up losing that contest. And so the Crusaders' season, which ended with the Carolina 6 Conference Championship for the fourth consecutive year, ended only in the second round of the 3AA playoffs when they lost to Hunt out in Wilson. And in fact, that game was right here. So that's another area where we're going to have to see tonight, because occasionally the head coach for the Crusaders, Stephen Wright, likes to throw in DiMaggio as a bit of a curveball at quarterback.
DiMaggio carried the American flag for the Crusaders as they marched their way out onto the field, and he's one of the captains out there right now meeting at midfield with the opposition as they are taking place, the coin toss taking place as we speak. Cedar Ridge has decided to receive the ball, and so they will get the first crack at this Cardinal Gibbons Crusaders defense tonight. And Jeff, we've talked a lot about the offense for Cardinal Gibbons and what they've been able to do, putting a lot of points up on the board. They like to have a high attack. What about the defensive side of the ball for the Crusaders?
Well, this is a deep team, Walter. In fact, you and I were looking at the roster earlier this week.
You can't see this on the radio, but when you compare the two side by side on a piece of paper, it's pretty astounding, the difference in numbers.
Yeah, in fact, it might be. We have not done an official count, but it could very well be 2-1. And so often we heard Bobby Bowden, back when Florida State won 11 consecutive ACC championships, say that we didn't win those championships with players 1 through 25. We won them with players 26 through 50. Cardinal Gibbons has not lost a conference game in 4 years. They went undefeated in the entire lifespan of the Carolina 6 Conference. A big reason for that is how much depth that they have in regards to their defense. We're going to see Sheldon Morgan in there tonight, Demetrius Milones. We're going to see all sorts of players here tonight. They like to run about 8 players along their defensive line at times, and this is a Cardinal Gibbons team that will play as many players as they can defensively to make sure that they wear down their opponents. That's really how they've won a couple of close games this year.
Gibbons comes through the banner out onto the middle of the field and over to the sideline. DiMaggio carrying the American flag over to the bench as they get ready for action tonight. Cedar Ridge already on its sideline, ready for the kickoff tonight, as there are just not a lot of players on the other side of the field for Cedar Ridge. Depth has been a huge issue for them. As much as it's been a strength for Cardinal Gibbons, it's been a big detractor, unfortunately, for Cedar Ridge. But the players that they put out on the field, I mean, they're having to earn it every single Friday night. And you feel for them not being able to get that first win yet because of how hard they're having to fight, but it's only going to make them better in the long run.
Absolutely, and this is still a young team when you get right down to it. Now, Peyton Pappas is only a sophomore. Julius Walton is a junior. He's the leading rusher on this team, and we expect him to get plenty of work. But this game is going to be determined, as so many games are, up front, Walter, and we're going to see whether or not Cedar Ridge can match that Cardinal Gibbons size. I think they can match their speed, but the size may be another issue.
Light breeze blowing in from right to left across the field. Cardinal Gibbons will be kicking off from left to right along your proverbial radio dial. It'll be Cedar Ridge returning from right to left. Back deep to receive for Cedar Ridge is Julius Walton along with Marquez Hunter. They're on the middle and far sides of the field. Also, as they're going to send three back to receive the kick. Also back there is number 32, Chris McCoy. Getting ready for the kickoff from Cardinal Gibbons as this one is put into the air, end over end, all the way down to the 6-yard line where it is fielded there by Hunter. He brings it back out across the 10, trying to get to the 15 and then the 20 before he's tripped up by two Crusaders, and he's taken down. They'll mark him just shy of that 20-yard line along the left hash.
So right away, it's important here for Cedar Ridge to get something established in terms of momentum, because if they don't, it could be a long night for them. We take a look at that offensive line. You're talking about guys going at 230, 243, so they have some size up front. We'll see what Cardinal Gibbons will match up here as they line up with a 4-3.
Pappas will be the quarterback with the ball starting out on the 19-yard line. He'll stand in the shotgun with one back to his right, receivers on both sides. He'll throw it out into a screen play looking for Hunter, and he's dragged down immediately behind the line of scrimmage. As soon as he caught the ball, he was hit. It'll be a loss of yardage on the first play of the game, in fact, knocking him all the way back to the 15-yard line for a loss of 5.
And that was an excellent hit that time by 22 Chad Snyder. that was Stephen Albright who managed to get in there for the five-yard loss as he put a helmet right on Walton.
Quick snap, though, as Cedar Ridge gets right back to it. The handoff will go to Walton. May have been a face mask in there. I don't see any flags on the field as he fights his way back to the line of scrimmage, taking the handoff out of the shotgun position. No gain on the play. It'll bring up third and 15.
Exactly what Cedar Ridge did not need at the early going here is to have Cardinal Gibbons show off that size and strength immediately, and that's exactly what's happened.
If Pappas can get some protection, he might have a receiving mismatch on the left side. He'll pull it down and run the draw play after everything broke down. And now he fumbles it as he falls to the ground, bounces back on top of it at the 16-yard line. But it's going to bring up fourth down, and Cedar Ridge is going to have to punt from deep within its own territory.
So right away, Cardinal Gibbons showing why they are one of the many contenders in this Carolina 6 conference. And it's like what I was saying, Walter, they didn't substitute as much there, but they did have some players come in along that defensive front. Three and out.
Good news is Brandon Ferris, the kicker and punter, has a decent leg. And he gets a nice hold of this one, a little too high, not so much long, but it gives Cedar Ridge plenty of time to get underneath the ball as it bounces right around the 37-yard line and then travels sideways for about 5 yards, and that's where they'll mark it at the 37. So excellent field position for the Crusaders to start out tonight's game.
Yeah, right away they've managed to pretty much take control of the field position battle, and now we're going to see young Mr. Stan Cabbage come out here, a young man who's built up quite a reputation over the last few years here at Cardinal Gibbons, and we're going to see what he can do right off the bat here.
Stan Cabbage walks out. He's got a towel tucked into the backside of his pants. He's got five wide receivers to start the game. Ball on the right hash, moving left to right. He'll pass for the first play of the game. Standing at the 45, plenty of time to pass. Now has to scramble out to his left. Finds an open man at the 20-yard line where the tackle is initiated, and then eventually the receiver brought down by Julius Walton. A great pass from Stan Cabbage, and a good pickup on first down, and they get it into the red zone.
Yeah, that was a zone buster right there because Cardinal Gibbons is lining up five wide, and it looked like number 10 wound up making the catch on that play, number 6 did.
As cool as the uniforms are for the Cardinal Gibbons tonight, we're going to have to apologize. It's quite difficult to see the numbers with dark green lettering on black uniforms. Ball tipped out of the receiver's hands at the 15-yard line. Close to an interception there for Cedar Ridge on the play was Harvin Allison, and the senior linebacker dove after the ball after the tip. Couldn't quite get underneath of it. Eventually it falls incomplete. It'll bring up second and 10, ball on the 19-yard line.
It was Gorman, Chris McGorman, who wound up making the catch a moment ago, Walter, for 17 yards. Now it's second and 10.
Here's the snap, three-step drop for Stan Cavage. He's got a man to his right, but he's still looking downfield. Throws toward the end zone, and it is caught and held on to. Running along the goal line, there's still a fight for the ball, but with the ball and the touchdown for Cardinal Gibbons is Christopher Gorman with another reception. He was tied up there with Marquez Hunter, who was trying to rip the ball away from him, but it's touchdown, Cardinal Gibbons, 6-0.
Yeah, Gorman wound up getting to the ball with Marquez Hunter simultaneously. That was some throw there by Stan Cabbage because he put that at a point and really threw a frozen rope Gorman's way, and he managed to simply outfight Hunter for the football.
Gorman's listed as 6'1", but he looks like a big 6'1", but he's also going up against 5'8", Marquez Hunter on that play. Had the significant size advantage and made the catch for the touchdown. Stan Cavage will have the spot on the extra point, which is up and right through the middle of the uprights and good. So it's 7-0, Cardinal Gibbons on top of Cedar Ridge. Just starting out, only 9:53. Still remaining here in the first quarter. It's already a touchdown lead for the Crusaders. That Cedar Ridge offense, which has negative yardage so far on the night, will have to give it another go when we come back. You're listening to High School Football on WCHL and Chapelboro.com.
If you've been hassling with glasses and contacts for years, why wait any longer? At Carolina Ophthalmology, we've been performing LASIK eye correction here in Chapel Hill for 17 years. At your free consultation with Dr. James Bryan, he will answer your questions and evaluate whether LASIK is right for you. Take our LASIK self-test at carolina2020.com. Call us today, 919-945-EYES. Why wait any longer?
Walter Storholt and Jeff Hammond with you from Cardinal Gibbons High School and high school football on WCHL and Chapelboro.com. It's brought to you by Mark Vitale Nationwide Insurance in Chapel Hill and in Hillsboro, AAI Nationwide Insurance. Brandon Loy will kick it off for the Crusaders after he just put through the extra point that put Cardinal Gibbons up 7-0 over Cedar Ridge. Ball on the 40-yard line, left to right, another good kick. It'll be fielded by, not Hunter, it looked like Hunter on the play, but Walton jumps in to grab it at the 5-yard line. He brings it up across the 20 and to about the 22, where he's swarmed under by a good coverage from Cardinal Gibbons, and they'll bring out the offense once again for Cedar Ridge. And Jeff, they'll try and give it another go here. Positive yardage on first down would be the best step in a minor win here.
Yeah, Cedar Ridge, you can tell they're battling confidence issues right away here. I'll tell you why in a moment.
Pappas gets the snap, hands it off. Again, from the shotgun, they stick with the same formula. At least this time they get positive yardage out of it. Out to the 24, where the ball carrier Julius Walton's taken down.
You can just see in their body language as they went to the sidelines, three and out on the first drive, and then Cardinal Gibbons takes three plays from scrimmage to score, make it 7-0.
Pappas will pass this time. Now he has to roll out to his right, has plenty of protection, lofts it over the defender, out to the 40-yard line where it's knocked away and incomplete. McCoy trying to make the catch for Cedar Ridge, couldn't haul it in. Great defensive play by Cardinal Gibbons out on the field.
Yep, and it looked like for just a moment that play was going to be open, but it looked like number 21 got in there. That's Peyton Othnick, who plays both ways, and he got in to deflect it.
Not a lot of room to try and squeeze that one in there for Pappas. He had to try and float it. It brings up 3rd and 9. Ball on the 24. Pappas drops back, has two, pressuring him, runs all the way back to the 10, gets out of trouble, runs to the sideline, turns it upfield, stays in bounds, and then dances out of bounds right back around the original line of scrimmage. So it'll bring up 4th and 10 for Cedar Ridge. Well, they didn't get negative yardage on the series, but once again, they're going to be stuck on 4th down and still 10 to go.
Yeah, it was. In fact, they wound up losing a yard in that play on the official mark. Pappas was under pressure from the get-go as Lucas Bowler was the first man to run around in.
Ferris to punt once again for Cedar Ridge. Under pressure, able to get it away. Nobody back to receive for Cardinal Gibbons, and it takes a very favorable Cedar Ridge bounce. Bounced at about the 45-yard line and goes another 12 yards or so down to the 33, where Cedar Ridge puts the ball, and Cardinal Gibbons will take over in its own territory. So not as good field position as last time down the field, but with 8:57 to play in the first quarter, it's still 7-0 Crusaders, and they take the field once again.
Absolutely excellent punt that time, though, as the punt winds up going for 43 yards. Now, for the first time in the game, Cardinal Gibbons has bad field position. This will be the first play, in fact, run in their own territory.
And the first play that they don't have five wide receivers, one back there for protection. Stankavich will roll out to his right, finds a receiver along the near sideline, and he'll just step right out of bounds at the 39. Before he had forward momentum, they'll say his right foot touched that sideline. But he does get to the 39 for a gain of 6. He'll have to get to the 43 for a first down. A good pickup on the first down there, and the catch that time is made by DiMaggio.
Yeah, the aforementioned Dante DiMaggio, who we'll see tonight at times at quarterback, especially if this game gets out of hand. He lines up now as a split into the near side on what will be 2nd and 4.
They bunch all the receivers up instead of spreading the field. It'll be a handoff going to the left side, cutting back up the middle of the field to the 45, now to the 50, splitting into the outside. On the run is David Smith. He makes it to the 40, puts his shoulder down, bowls over another player, falls backwards across the 30, down to the 28-yard line before finally hitting the ground, and a nice big run from big number 42, David Smith.
And the thing about it was Cardinal Gibbons had plenty of pursuit. Brad Bunnington managed to spill the play to the inside. It looked like they had a crack at him there, but it was all Smith from there, and he takes it all the way down to the Red Wolf 28.
Very nice play from Smith, who averages about 5.7 yards per carry on the season. Got a lot more there. Now pass out into the flat. Screen play. It's complete, getting across the 25-yard line, dragging a defender down to the 20. A good pickup on first down for the Crusaders. Earl Gill with the catch, and it'll bring up 2nd and 1 after a gain of 9 on first down.
Walter, so many teams in this league, and I'm talking about the best teams, have a wide variety of skill players, and Cardinal Gibbons has that as well.
Stankavich in the shotgun with one back to his right, three receivers to the right side. They'll throw it out to the right on another screen play, trying to cut back toward the middle of the field. He does get the first down, as making his third catch of the game is Christopher Gorman, trying to get down to the 15-yard line, and he did get there. It'll bring up 1st down.
Yeah, Gorman with the simple wide-out screen, and it's clear right away that Cedar Ridge is giving up an awful lot in terms of size, and wisely, Cardinal Gibbons also testing out their speed when it comes to throwing the ball laterally with so many screen passes.
Stankavich gets the snap. Quick three-step drop. Dances around to the backfield. Looking right, looking left. Shifting his body around. Stiff arms the defender to get away from him. Now fires on the run into the end zone. A catch. And it is a touchdown. Cardinal Gibbons, a beautiful pass from Stankavich into the right side of the end zone where it's grabbed and hauled in by James Sreeraman. 6'2" wide receiver, junior, slides right along the sideline in the end zone and makes the play.
That was some catch by Sreeraman, and you can see why Stankavich is a Division I prospect with that throw, because that was a throw on the run. Rare pressure by Cedar Ridge, and he still managed to stick it to a part of the end zone where only Sreeraman could make the catch.
Awfully pretty. High snap, but able to snag it and put it down to Stankavich, and booting it through the uprights is Brandon Loy. So it's now 14-0, 7:24 still to go here in the first quarter. Cedar Ridge needs to get something going offensively, or else they are in for a long night. We'll step aside and be back with the kickoff here on WCHL and Chapelboro.com.
When you think of Harrington Bank, do you think green? No, not that kind of green, sustainability green. At Harrington Bank, we're the first bank in the nation to earn Green Plus certification. And the Chapel Hill Carrboro Chamber of Commerce has just selected us Sustainable Business of the Year. For Harrington Bank, going green is a smart business decision that strengthens our local economy, environment, and community. Stop by one of our three convenient locations in Chapel Hill. Harrington Bank, you deserve banking like this.
Hi, I'm David Fitch. My great-grandfather started Fitch Lumber and Hardware back in 1907. Since then, we provide thousands of contractors and homeowners with top-quality building products and exceptional service that's truly second to none. Everything you need to construct, renovate, and repair the home, from the foundation to the roof, we can help you with. And Fitch Lumber and Hardware is right here in downtown Carrboro across from Carmel Mall. 105 years and counting. Here comes Fitch.
Back here at Cardinal Gibbons High School, 14-0 Crusaders. Loy kicks it off. Yet again, it lands on the 5-yard line where it'll be taken out by Marquez Hunter. Hunter splits out to the right side, tries to get around a couple of tacklers, and does so out to the 25, and they'll say he stepped out just shy of that marker, and they'll put it at the 23. So it'll be first and 10 for the Red Wolves. Similar field position for their first three drives. The first two drives haven't gained them really any positive yardage. We'll see if they can change that here with 7:17 on the clock in the first quarter.
Yeah, it was the big run a moment ago by Smith that set up the touchdown, and that was a 17-yard toss as Stankavich wound up throwing to Sreeraman.
Screen pass out to the flanker on the left side for Cedar Ridge. He is barreled over by five different Crusader players as they just piled on top to take him down, and one Crusader is a little slow to get back to his feet at the 20-yard line. Finally does after he was the first one on the pile. Number 55, Michael Bevenuto, and he was underneath of that pile as his teammates came piling on. And it'll be a no gain on the play. Second and 10, moves the ball over to the left hash mark. Moving right to left along your radio dial. They'll throw a running back screen out to the right side. With the ball, making his moves to the right side is Walton, trying to get past the 25. He gets positive yardage on the play, but still not much doing. Brings up a long third down play here, Jeff.
And let's see if Cedar Ridge wants to take a shot down the field. A moment ago, Pappas threw one to Chris McCoy that was nearly caught, but it was some good coverage made a moment ago by Neil Nelson to knock the ball away. Here, it's a big opportunity for Cedar Ridge. They've got to take advantage of it.
Here's the snap. Looking to his right, Pappas has nothing doing. Now goes left. He'll have to roll out of the pocket, faces pressure, hops in the air, then scoots by a defender, gets a big block back behind him, throws it downfield, and it is tipped out of the fingertips of Matthew Bowen, who was streaking toward the ball in the play along with Stephen Albright. If Pappas had been able to get that pass just a little bit higher, just 2 inches higher, it would have landed in the hands of Marquez Hunter, and he would have been gone all the way down the sideline. But the tip saves the big play for Cardinal Gibbons, and it'll bring up fourth down yet again for the Red Wolves.
And so far it is negative 1 yard total offense by Cedar Ridge on three drives on what will be this punt here coming up.
Ferris puts it high into the air. Not a long one this time. It'll be called fair catch at the 50-yard line. And under heavy pressure, Earl Gill IV makes the grab, and he'll get it at the 49 in Cardinal Gibbons territory. But as we saw in their last drive, it may not have that big of an impact on where they start on the field with how high octane this offense has been thus far. 5:57 remaining in the first quarter. It's 14-0 Cardinal Gibbons, and they'll go back to work on offense.
And Cardinal Gibbons, on the other hand, Walter, has just streaked down the field, two touchdowns. They already have 104 yards total offense. Dan Cabbage is 6 of 7 for 71 yards.
He has four wide receivers, a running back there to protect him. Now he'll move up closer to his sender, yell out some instructions to the offense as they may play, change the play on the fly. Now he gets the snap. It'll be a handoff. Rolling to the left, this was a similar play that went for long yardage earlier in the game. Bouncing off two tacklers is David Smith. Gets across midfield and then gets taken down at the 48 in Cedar Ridge territory. It'll bring up second down after the gain of three.
Brad Buddington got in on the tackle, as did Matt Murdy. You can just tell, though, within seconds, the speed differential between these two teams is pretty darn vast.
Stan Cavage looks to his receivers on the right side and kicks his foot in the air like he's kicking a field goal, some sort of signal to his wideouts as he gets the snap here. They run the same play, but they go to the other side as Smith continues his march up the middle of the field, gets across the 45-yard line, and they'll have a very manageable third down coming up here. It'll be third and two.
You can tell that Stan Cavage is the son of a quarterback the way he carries himself.
Oh, yes.
And really conducts this team almost like an orchestra.
He's helping his running back, actually, as we speak, fix his helmet on the play. He's kind of like a mom out there, really, as he's like, oh, here, let me fix your chin strap.
And, in fact, the head official has to come over and actually correct the equipment difficulty that David Smith is having. And now Smith's going to have to lead the game over it.
Because of the malfunction on the helmet there, that's going to bring in Peyton Offnick, who had 12 carries for 88 yards in his past two games for Cardinal Gibbons. And he'll now check in and stand to the left of Stan Cavage. Third down and a long two. Stan Cavage gets the snap. They'll run the handoff to Offnick, and he's wrapped up and taken down shy of the first down marker. A big tackle for Ben Rice on the play. The junior linebacker forces a fourth down here for the Crusaders.
And you can tell the speed difference there between Smith and Offnick there, because Smith would have burst to that hole much quicker. Offnick had the hole, but he couldn't take advantage of it.
Excellent point. So now to bring up fourth down, Cardinal Gibbons is going to go for it. Up 14-0 with 4:24 to play here in the first quarter. Here's the snap. They will hand it off to Offnick once again. No, it'll be a keeper. Stan Cavage runs up the middle, splits to the outside. Two defenders to beat. Uses the stiff arm across the 25 before being tackled at the 22. McCoy finally brought him down, but a good run by Stan Cavage. He ran the option and then took it right up the middle.
Stan Cavage is 6'3", 185. That is a big quarterback at any level of football, but especially at the high school level, you don't see a quarterback use a stiff arm all that often. But Stan Cavage used one there for a gain of 21.
To McCoy's credit, though, he was able to recover from getting the stiff arm and make the tackle along the sideline. Stan Cavage will now look to pass. He's got plenty of protection. Steps to his left, throws over the defenders. Pass is complete at the 5, and then marching his way into the end zone on the play is Brandon Loy, not only the kicker on this squad, but a wide receiver as well. And the junior makes it 20-0, Cardinal Gibbons.
Loy just danced out right in the open there after the fourth down conversion. And there was no one on him. It looked like there was some blown coverage that time for Cedar Ridge as no one picked him up. When you have five receiver looks, you're having to deal with something that's very different from what Cedar Ridge had to defend last week in that double option attack like Riverside employs.
After the touchdown, Loy will kick the extra point. This one a little lower, a line drive, but it is through the uprights. Makes it 21-0. We were joking about at the beginning of the contest all the markings on the field. For those of you that didn't hear us earlier on, they've got the field hockey markings out here, lacrosse markings, soccer we didn't even mention,
right.
Marking, and they're all different colors out on the field. And it did look like as Loy got the ball around the 5-yard line, he kind of had to look down and find out where he was exactly on the field before he realized, I need to go this way to get to the end zone. But he found it, and it makes it 21-0 Crusaders on top of the Red Wolves. Red Wolves are able to get a little bit more out of their last drive. Can they continue to build that positive momentum? We'll find out when we come back on WCHL and ChapelBurro.com's coverage of high school football.
I'm Edward Holmes, president of Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. By now, you've heard about our fountain drinks made with 100% filtered water served at a chilly 34 degrees with our chewy ice. They're guaranteed to taste great and only 79 cents every day. Right now, we're giving you the opportunity to win free fountain drinks for a year. Simply visit our Facebook page and look for the contest icon. Contest runs through September.
Cruisers, good to go.
Brandon Loy has been consistent in his kickoffs all night tonight, all of them landing pretty much on the 5 or 6 yard line. Here he puts boot to ball once again. This one will go a little bit further to the left side of the field, but deeper. Fielded at the 2. It'll be brought out by Walton. Walton across the 20 with good speed to the 25. Taken down there by a swarm of tacklers, and Cedar Ridge will begin its drive. They've been improving their field position little bit by little bit here, Jeff, on each kickoff that they've had to return in this game. But with 3:46 to go in the first quarter, they have to get a first down and get that defense off the field.
Yeah, they haven't had any time at all, and you have to remember also, Walter, a good number of Cedar Ridge players are playing both ways tonight because they don't have very much depth. And right now it's negative 1 yard total offense through three drives so far for the Red Wolves. Nowhere to go but up from here.
Four wide receivers. They'll hand it off from the shotgun once again. Up the middle is Walton. Gets a couple of yards on the play. Pickup of 2 on the first run. They really need to be picking up 3, 4, and 5 on their first downs, though, to try and extend these drives a little bit.
Try to get some scores from around the area here as Cedar Ridge trails 21-0 to the heavily favored Crusaders of Cardinal Gibbons.
Here's the snap, another handoff, this one to Walton. He dances right along the line of scrimmage. Got to get upfield faster than that as Cardinal Gibbons comes and swarms him under with 3:12 to play here in the first quarter. It'll bring up third down as they get knocked back to the original line of scrimmage on the 25. So third and 10, needing to get to the 35 for the first down.
Yeah, Neil Nelson came in there to put a close to that hole, and there's no time, as you mentioned, Walter, to dance here because Cardinal Gibbons is too quick.
Pappas to pass, throws it across the middle, gets tipped in and out of the fingertips of the defender, jumping in front of it there. Second tipped ball of the night, this one coming from Stephen Albright. But we do have flags on the play. It's back in the backfield. Flag sitting on the 20-yard line. And it looks like the initial indication is that it's on Cardinal Gibbons.
Yeah, it's going to be a face mask called against them. So Cedar Ridge will have the elusive initial first down of the game.
Pappas must have gotten hit as he let go of that football and must have been contact to the face as the referees are still discussing how to mark this play off and also explaining it to the sidelines. And it will move the ball forward. And as you mentioned, Jeff, the first down of the contest as it's of the 15-yard variety. And based on where it happened, it'll move the ball just across the 40-yard line to the 41. So it'll be first and 10 for Cedar Ridge, their best field position of the game, and the first time they've been able to move the chains.
Now let's see if they can get a ground attack going, because that's been one of the main frustrating things.
Fake handoff, throw across the middle of the field, and a big hit by that Cardinal Gibbons secondary. Laying out on the play was Neil Nelson, the senior linebacker, putting a hurting on Marquez Hunter, who had the outstretched arms to get the ball. Good clean hit as well.
Yeah, it was a good clean shot. And tell you what, it's not the biggest Cardinal Gibbons team in the world, but it is one that can hit very hard. They're very intimidating.
Good speed as well. It'll be an option. Pappas keeps it, has nothing to the left, has to roll back to his right, and it takes all he has just to get past the line of scrimmage to the 43-yard line for a gain of 2 on the play. So third and 8 now. Cedar Ridge has to get across midfield to get the first down with 2:25 to play in the first quarter. 21-0 Crusaders lead. 3-1 on the season. Cedar Ridge 0-4. First conference game of the year for both squads. Pappas will toss it down the right sideline. He's got a man open. McCoy's out there. He makes the catch across the 30, down to the 25, and slides after being tackled to the 23. Beautiful pass by Pappas that time down the field, and McCoy did a nice job to beat his defender.
Yeah, Pappas is really having to be a one-man band here, and that was some play just to get it down the field. And finally, there's a little momentum. The first third down conversion of the game here for Cedar Ridge.
And the first earned first down of the game. Here's Pappas once again in trouble, being hauled down from behind, just riding him down to the ground on the play. Great pressure by Cardinal Gibbons to get back there with a minute 53 seconds remaining in the first quarter. That's going to make it a little bit tougher on Cedar Ridge to try and get into the end zone here. But very good progress on this drive for the Red Wolves.
21-0 the score. And Papp is responsible for a lot of the offense. In fact, he's the leading rusher right now.
Ball on the 26. Pappas will haul it down, runs out to his right. He's got some room to maneuver across the 20, down to the 15 as he gets knocked out of bounds there. It'll be right at the 15-yard line. And so that'll be third and short. Only 1 yard to gain to get the first down here. Make it third and two.
Yep, they're going to call it at the 26, or 16, rather. Big play right here, sport out territory, no doubt.
125 in the first quarter. There'll be a handoff. Running up the middle on the play is Walton. Did he get enough? So many lines down there. It's right where all the tops of the creases meet, and it looks like he did get the first down as he leaned across the 14-yard line down to the 13. And, yes, first down for – they need to move the chains. It's not first and goal yet.
No. But not sure why they're holding it. Why are they
– stuck.
Yes, they signal first down, and the chains are just now moving. No, I don't know what they're doing.
The guy on the back end of the chains fell asleep, I guess.
Yeah, does this gentleman know how to move a chain? He's out there for a reason.
Nah, they're doing a great job. We're just picking on him. All right, so it's first and 10. Red Wolves threatening. Throw into the end zone over top the fingertips of Hunter on the play. Just a little high as Pappas was trying to thread the ball through a couple of defenders to him.
And Marquez Hunter upset because he was wide open, Chris McCoy was open on the far end of the field. And Pappas just didn't see him because the pursuit was coming from the outside.
Not much time for Pappas to operate back there. Certainly the big difference when you compare Stankavich and what he's able to operate with, and then you compare it with Pappas. Here's the handoff after the fake reverse to Hunter. They'll hand it off up the middle to Walton. Not a lot of yardage on the play, although it does look like he got inside the 10-yard line. They can get a first down without scoring. As under a minute to play in the first quarter, it'll be third down. 45, Richard Stone is down. Needing to get about 5 yards to get that first down. Here's the snap. Pappas looks down the middle of the field, pulls it down, runs it to the right. Now throws it in the end zone. Open is McCoy, and he makes the catch for the touchdown. Cedar Ridge on the board. 21-6 now as Pappas extends the play. Looked like he was going to run it, but before he got back to the line of scrimmage, saw McCoy open for the second straight play in the end zone and delivered.
And that was some play by Pappas. And as you mentioned, Walter, he extended the play. He did so on the big drive that set up this touchdown, the big play that set up this touchdown. And two big third down conversions. And, of course, none of this would have happened without the face mask penalty. So if you count that, three third down conversions.
Ferris with the extra point. The kick is up, and it is good. And then we've got a flag on the play after the kick. We may have running into the kicker or roughing the kicker possibly here. No, it's going to be false start. An illegal procedure against Cedar Ridge, so they're going to have to move it back and do a re-kick with 40.9 seconds to play in the first quarter.
And now make it a 25-yard attempt here. See if we can get some scores from around the area. We know that Garner and East Wake are tied at 7. This is the first night of conference action, not just in the Big 8, but in several areas of the state. Also, Wake Forest leads Broughton 7-0. Wake Forest, arguably, the best team in the triangle right now.
So instead of an easy chip shot for the extra point, it's now going to be a 25-yarder. With Pappas kneeling down right on the 15-yard line. Ferris has it deflected. It still makes its way through the uprights. It got tipped at the point of the kick, but it had just enough energy to flip its way over the upright, and so they stay with the 7 points on the board. 21-7 our score. Crusaders leading the Red Wolves, but Cedar Ridge trying to steal some of that momentum back. 40.9 seconds remaining in the first quarter. You're listening to High School Football on WCHL and on Chapelboro.
Mark Vitale's All About Insurance Agency has taken care of families and businesses in Chapel Hill since 1993. All About Insurance carries every line of insurance you and your family would need. Auto, home, renters, commercial insurance for businesses large and small, life insurance and 401k plans, plus health care insurance. In fact, All About Insurance carries the absolute lowest rates for new young drivers. So call AAI today at 919-933-4000 or go online at allaboutinsurancenc.com.
This is time for school means time for school sports to begin. If your child needs a sports physical to play, UNC Family Medicine is here for you. UNC Family Medicine can get you in and out quickly so your young athlete can get back to the field. You'll be cared for by the same physicians and staff that work with UNC teams and the Chapel Hill Carrboro High School teams. Make your appointment now at uncfamilymedicine.org. Just another way that UNC Family Medicine is caring for the course of your life.
Brandon Ferris will kick it off for Cedar Ridge, their first kickoff of the night. It is a somewhat of a squib kick, a high end-over-end shot that goes to the 29. That's taken by the up-back across the 45 to the 50, runs into a defender at the 40, and dragged down at the 38. On the return was the wide receiver, Christopher Gorman, and he puts Cardinal Gibbons into great field position after Cedar Ridge elected to not kick a deep kick and kind of squibbed it over to the side, Jeff.
Yep, he almost brought it back all the way, but he couldn't quite get away from the pursuit. That's the reason for those squib kicks, is to not give up a big return. But even with a shorter distance on the kick, the Crusaders brought it back a long way, and they now have it down to the Cedar Ridge 38 already.
Nice. Opinion side kick if you're only going to kick that short. Here's Stan Kavich throwing out to the left side. He's got a wide open man 5 yards across the line of scrimmage using a stiff arm. Barrels over two defenders across the 30, close to the first down marker, and he may have gotten it very, very close. It looks like they will put him at second down on the play. Just shy. Second and inches after a 10-yard pickup. They have time to run one more play with 11 seconds remaining in the first quarter. There's the whistle as the clock continues to wind down, under 10 to play now. Stankavich doesn't seem to be in a hurry to snap it. The offensive line standing up, and that will do it for the first half of play. Here from Cardinal Gibbons High School, Cedar Ridge trails 21-7, but they're on the board, but now they need a big answer from their defense. You're listening to High School Football on WCHL and Chapelboro.
Mark Vitale's All About Insurance Agency has taken care of families and businesses in Chapel Hill since 1993. All About Insurance carries every line of insurance you and your family would need. Auto, home, renters, commercial insurance for businesses large and small, life insurance and 401k plans, plus health care insurance. In fact, All About Insurance carries the absolute lowest rates for new young drivers. So call AAI today at 919-933-4000 or go online at allaboutinsurancenc.com.
Hello, I'm Robbie Oakes, senior mortgage banker with Corporate Investors Mortgage Group. As a Chapel Hill native and a UNC grad, I am proud to work with the only locally owned mortgage bank in Chapel Hill. Home mortgage interest rates remain at historic lows. Whether you're looking to purchase the home of your dreams or simply looking to refinance your existing mortgage, Corporate Investors and I are here to help you every step of the way. Call us at 929-6116 or visit us on the web at CIMGINC.com. Go Heels.
21-7 our score. Cardinal Gibbons up on the Cedar Ridge Red Wolves with 12 minutes on the board now as we get ready to begin the second quarter of play as they flip-flop everything. In case you missed it earlier, gorgeous night here for high school football. We're standing on the roof of the press box right around the 45-yard line. And packed house on the Cardinal Gibbons side of the field. It's homecoming night for them here. Great festivities. The band's out on the warning track. No room for them in the stands.
No. That's odd.
Great atmosphere for high school football, though. Stankavich, with a siren going off in the background, has to roll out of the pocket over to the right side of the field. Fires a bullet downfield so hard that it couldn't be handled by DiMaggio. And it goes out of bounds after hitting his fingertips. That is amazing, the amount of strength that Stankavich is able to get on those throws. Rolling out of the pocket and throwing across his body like that. So far in the game, excellent numbers. 8-for-10 for 107 yards, Jeff Hamlin, and the big number, 3 touchdowns.
Absolutely, and he spread the ball out because 5 different Crusaders have touched the ball already in this game.
4 receivers this time as it's 2nd and 10. It'll be a handoff. Stuttering right around the line of scrimmage and then busting out for a long run is David Smith. He gets across the 20, 15, 10, 5, reaches for the end zone! And he is in there for the touchdown. David Smith with a beautiful 38-yard run. Had to stutter step his way at the line of scrimmage, but then busted out to the left, maneuvered by a few defenders, and then spiraled backwards into the pylon for the score.
Yeah, that's some sloppy tackling right there by Cedar Ridge as they couldn't keep up with the speed of Smith, but even those who had a chance at him couldn't bring him in, and Smith just made them pay. And it's clear that right now, these two teams have a big, big difference when it comes to skill and size and speed.
The extra point will be attempted by Loy. The ball is down, the kick is up, and it is good. In fact, he kicks it all the way over the warning track and out into the woods.
Huh.
Beautiful extra point. So it's 28-7, the 4th touchdown of the game for Cardinal Gibbons, the first coming on the ground on the 2nd play of the quarter. 11:39 now remaining in the second quarter. It's a 21-point lead once again for the Crusaders. Here's listening to high school football on WCHL and chapelboro.com.
Hi, this is Ron Stutz. At Carolina Ophthalmology here in Chapel Hill, Dr. Jamie Bryant has been performing vision correction surgery, including LASIK and PRK, for 18 years. Dr. Bryant performed my vision correction surgery about a decade ago. It really changed my life. Dr. Bryant is certified by the American Board of Ophthalmology and is Chapel Hill's most experienced vision correction surgeon. At your free consultation, Dr. Bryant will answer your questions and evaluate whether vision correction procedures are right for you. Visit Carolina2020.com or call 919-945-EYES.
Jeff, the total yard stat for Cardinal Gibbons would probably be even more impressive if they hadn't started several of their drives tonight in Cedar Ridge territory. But even with the great field position they've had, they've been able to rack up a lot of yardage on the evening.
Yeah, 193 yards so far in the game for them, 59 for Cedar Ridge, and 60 of those yards for Cedar Ridge actually came on that last drive.
Kickoff by Loy is into the end zone for a touchback. So Cedar Ridge will bring it out for its first drive of the second quarter with 11:39 on the clock. But after a good drive last time out that led to a touchdown, they'll try and build off of that here, even though they've got to have some players getting winded. So many playing both sides of the ball. That defense has been on the field a lot tonight. Hopefully the offense for the Red Wolves can continue its momentum and continue to have energy to execute.
Yeah, there's no question about that, Walter, because right now, lack of numbers means lack of players at the line of scrimmage and also lack of skill players as well.
It'll be a handoff. Busting through the coverage is Walton. He spins through two defenders, pauses at the 40, down to the 44-yard line. A huge pickup on first down, a gain of 24. A beautiful run by Walton. He was running with purpose on that play.
There was a good hole that opened up, and credit the center on the play for Cedar Ridge, James Bauer, who managed to widen that gap, and the Red Wolves going without a huddle. But they did a great job that time up front.
Pappas will pass on first and 10 from the 44 as he rolls to his left, flushed out of the pocket. Big linebacker giving pursuit, and Pappas should be very glad that he was able to scoot out of bounds at the 49-yard line.
Yeah, Pappas was running for his life once again. It seems like every other play he's having to do that so far in this game, but he's still got five. Got to give credit there a moment ago to Gabe Little. He was also the other offensive lineman in on that big block that opened up a 24-yard hole that time.
Michael Benvenuto, 6'2", 235 pounds, has been after Pappas a lot tonight, and he was the one giving chase there. Pappas gets the snap, moves to his left, has plenty of time, and throws it out. There's flags on the field. Pass is caught at the 42-yard line, down across the 35, deeper into Cardinal Gibbons territory, goes the receiver on the play, who was Walton, who came from the running back position to get that pass out in space, but Pappas clapping his hands back at the middle of the field in frustration. Tells us that it is likely on Cedar Ridge here and will be coming back. There are two flags out on the field, one near where the pass was thrown and the other about 7 yards down the field.
Well, let's see what we have here. Got a hold against Cedar Ridge and then another hold against Cardinal Gibbons. So the plays will offset, the penalties will offset. Now make it second down all over again, second and five.
Wipe that play from the record books and it'll be second and five again from the 49-yard line. Cedar Ridge not quite into Cardinal Gibbons territory yet, but they're starting to find some gaps and holes in this Cardinal Gibbons defense.
Yeah, there's no question about that. And right now, Cardinal Gibbons isn't getting the pass rush that they had earlier on tonight. And that's somewhat surprising considering the alternate linemen.
Ben Rice in at running back. He'll be serving as an extra blocker, and he earns Pappas some extra time, who tosses it downfield to McCoy, who almost hauls it in with one hand. I think McCoy thought it was going to be out of his reach, and then when he put his arms up there, all of a sudden it was actually within grabbing distance. Just couldn't quite cradle it in with that right extended arm. Pappas has a very nice delivery when he just kind of floats the ball in there. He doesn't throw it in like Stankavich, who can just, you know, rifle a shot to his receiver. But Pappas has a very nice touch on those loft throws.
Often he has to loft the throws because he's constantly throwing on the run, and that's the difference between the two quarterbacks. Stankavich can throw line drives on the run. Pappas prefers soft touches while on the run.
Third down, big play here for Cedar Ridge at midfield. Pappas dances away from trouble, throws it across the middle of the field, tipped into the air, intended for Hunter, got deflected by the defender and landed in front of Hunter. And Cedar Ridge may think about going for it on fourth down here as they'll have fourth and five on the play. Pappas could have tucked that ball down and maybe run for it to try and get the first down, but he elected to go ahead and throw the ball, and they are going to decide to punt it as Pappas slowly walks off the field to the sideline. So Ferris comes in for the punt, standing at the 35-yard line, gets the snap, little bit of pressure, but he gets it away. Good end-over-end kick that bounces. It takes a big Cedar Ridge roll down inside the 10-yard line to the 9, where it is tagged up there. Worst starting field position on the night for Cardinal Gibbons. And this is a good opportunity here, Jeff, for the Cedar Ridge defense to step up and say, hey, if we're able to hold them and keep them from getting a first down on this drive, that'll be a big momentum changer and really something that would be a positive for the offense as well in terms of starting position.
Well, the defense has to help out the offense. So far, Cardinal Gibbons is batting 1,000. They had 37 yards for a touchdown on their first drive. Then it was 67 yards for a touchdown. After that, 51 yards for a touchdown that last drive, 38 yards for a touchdown. And that came after the big punt return by Chris Gorman that set up the score, or I should say the kickoff return.
They'll need to go 91 yards this time. Shotgun again for Stankavich. It'll be a handoff running up the middle across the 10-yard line, looking to get to the 14-yard line on the play. It was not David Smith, the traditional back in there for Cardinal Gibbons, but Peyton Offnick instead getting the handoff.
And he got 4 out of it.
So to bring up 2nd down and 6. 4 receivers for Gibbons. Stankavich slaps his hands, gets the snap, fakes the handoff to Offnick, throws out to his right side in the flat, catch is made across the 25, down to the 30, being pushed out of bounds on the play there. Another catch by Cardinal Gibbons. This one is Christopher Gorman. Gorman's been a good go-to receiver tonight for Stankavich.
Yeah, he's a lanky player, but he's also very quick, and he's perfect in that way to streak right up the middle on screen passes. Good slot player.
So it's 1st down now. They'll go with another handoff. This one to Offnick, and he makes it up the middle. 1st down and more across the 40. Slides over the defender to the 44-yard line, and they're getting it done on the ground on this drive. A good mix of plays, in fact. It'll bring up another 1st and 10 as Cardinal Gibbons nears midfield with 9:37 to play in the second quarter. It's 28-7. Crusaders with the lead.
That's going to be over 100 yards rushing in the game for Cardinal Gibbons already, and this game's not even 15 minutes old yet.
Here's the snap. Stankavich is going to throw it across the middle of the field. It is caught by Loy, the kicker, who doubles as a wide receiver. He's across the 40-yard line into Cedar Ridge territory, taken down at the 39. It'll be another 1st and 10 as Stankavich just picking apart this Cedar Ridge defense now.
Yeah, he's methodically done it, and it's come through not a lot of big, long throws. This is a dink-and-duck type of team, but they execute those dinks and dunks very well.
They've gone 51 yards on this drive very quickly. Stankavich throws to the right side this time. It's left, right, left, right. Now they go to the right. It's complete, making his way across the 30. Now down to the 20, looking for the 15-yard line, but staying in bounds when he gets taken down at the 16-17-yard line on the play. I believe once again it was the lanky Christopher Gorman with the catch.
It was, as he comes to this side of the field, and he brings the ball right back in the red zone. Didn't it just feel like they were lining up at their own 9-yard line, and now they're already at the Cedar Ridge 16?
It's only a couple of plays ago. They'll call it the 17 officially, 8:50 to play. It'll be a handoff to Offnick. Up the middle, he's got 3 defenders to beat, and he runs right into them. They kind of just fell back, maybe not realizing they were standing on the goal line and needed to pop him earlier. They just dragged him right on in there. Another touchdown for Cardinal Gibbons, making it 34-7 with 8:43 to play in the second quarter.
Yeah, that's a defeated football team right there, Cedar Ridge. That was tackling right there that pretty much told you that this one's done with here early. They realized that skill-wise they just can't keep up with them, and some second stringers were already in the game for Cardinal Gibbons that time around.
Loy will kick the extra point. Spot is down, kick is up, and it is good, as he sends this one once again into the woods. Another good extra point by Loy. So with 8:43 to go, it's 35-7. Crusaders rolling, starting to look like Cedar Ridge will just have to pick out some small victories here this evening. What can they do to improve going forward? We'll step aside and be back with more high school football on chapelboro.com.
This is Kit Ballou of Franklin Street Realty.
And I'm Sammy Martin. You know, Kit, a lot of people look at buying or selling a house as a competition where there is a clear winner and a clear loser.
I know what you mean, but in my experience,
and that would be vast,
the best deals are the ones where the sellers feel they didn't get quite enough and the buyers are sure they paid a little too much.
So not like the sleazeball in the tailored suit on Bravo's million-dollar listing, the one who says, you haven't done anything right until someone wants you dead. Jesus, Franklin Street Realty, our agents simply do not let ego get in the way. In fact, the men were selected for low testosterone levels.
Oh, Sammy, don't sell yourself short. The truth is, you don't have to read The Art of War to be a good negotiator. You need focus, experience, and flexibility, what you get from our agents. Plus, even the talking heads have come around to our position. There has never been a better time to buy a house, period.
Lower asking prices, lower interest rates, a lot to choose from. Find your new house at franklinstreetrealty.com.
Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else?
Back at Cardinal Gibbons, Walter Storholt and Jeff Hamlin with you here tonight. Jeff's got a score update for you that we'll get to in a moment that may surprise you. 8:43 to play in the second quarter. Cardinal Gibbons kicks it off. It'll be fielded at the 3-yard line. Right foot back there by McCoy. Gets across the 15. Still on his feet, fighting to the 20. Both teams pile up, pushing back and forth, and well, he'll be right at the 20-yard line is where it'll end up. 35-7, our score here. Jeff, what about elsewhere?
Well, it's a big surprise over in Pittsburgh. We thought the matchup between Orange and Northwood would be a real slobber knocker, Walter, but it's Orange 27 and the Chargers nothing in the second quarter. That's a real surprise, and it tells you that Pat Moser had his team all set to play tonight.
That is the featured game on the airwaves of WCHL, also streaming on chapelboro.com. So you can check that one out if you're hopping in the car and moving about town. You want to catch up on the other high school game, you can do that as well. False start, illegal procedure against Cedar Ridge, so they'll go 5 yards deeper into their own territory to the 15. And that's where they'll have first and 15. Not the way you want to start off the drive. And Pappas will go back to work.
This is just an old school butt whipping right here.
That's what it's been so far. Cedar Ridge has a long way to go to get on the board here. Switching up the offenses, they'll move Walton over to the other side of Pappas, and now he'll get the handoff up the middle of the field, lowers that shoulder, gets to the 20-yard line and across to the 21. Yeah, they're not going to give him the forward progress as the ref is going to spot him on the 20 exactly. So a gain of 5 on the play. It'll be 2nd and 10.
Pappas, a young man who will play some basketball this year. His father used to coach the basketball team over at Cedar Ridge. Him was at one point the athletic director, still associated with the school.
Here's the snap. It'll be a pass by Pappas as he fakes a pump fake out to the right side and then runs to the sideline. Just wasn't a race upfield. It was a race sideways as he was once again trying to get out of the grasp of one of these defensive linemen for Cardinal Gibbons. He did pick up 2 yards on the play. It'll bring up 3rd and 8 with under 8 to play here in the second quarter.
Another amenity here at Cardinal Gibbons Field, they actually have yard markings. You don't have to guess where the ball is going. 9 out of 10 high school fields don't have that. Makes it a lot easier to keep stats.
4 wide receivers. They'll throw a wide receiver screen out to Hunter. Just nothing doing there. Didn't have enough blocking up in front of him. He gets to the 22-yard line before getting pushed back. And they'll spot him at the 23 possibly. Yeah, they'll move him up a yard.
Good pursuit once again by Neil Nelson, who's been all over the place tonight for Cardinal Gibbons, and he'll force another punt.
Ferris is out there getting a lot of work tonight. Not a lot of respect for Ferris as the receiver is only at the 45-yard line. This one bounces at the 45, so he's in the right spot on the field in terms of depth, but he was on the wrong side of the field. Ferris has done a nice job on most of his punts tonight to get them to roll end over end. Bounced at the 45 in Cedar Ridge territory and ends up getting marked just shy of the 35 down in Cardinal Gibbons territory. So a very nice punt and then roll on the end of it.
Practice makes perfect, as they say.
It does, and he's getting a lot of practice tonight.
No question. Well, looking at the stats here, Stan Cabbage is going to come back out, and he is 11 for 13 for 163 yards and 3 touchdowns, and 5 possessions, 5 touchdowns for Cardinal Gibbons thus far in the game. See if they can keep on batting 1,000 with 6:51 remaining in the first half. They're up 35-7.
They're only about 65 yards away from the Baker's dozen as a flag comes in on the play after the handoff. Several players spilling over each other, still trying to make the tackle as the running back got dragged all the way back to the original line of scrimmage after progressing forward.
It's coming back, though, for a hold.
So just like a penalty hurt Cedar Ridge on its last drive on the first play, it does the same for Cardinal Gibbons here.
Hopefully Chuck Caton doesn't intercept our feed, and perhaps his voice can be heard all the way from What is it, probably about half a mile away? Well, it's not even that, maybe. It's like two-tenths of a mile.
Pretty close. I give it a half a mile.
Half a mile? Okay.
Distances can be deceiving straight when you can see the object in front of you.
That's true. And we're, tell you what, there's still fans outside. They're already they're still tailgating out there.
I mean, hordes of them.
Yeah.
Not, I guess maybe because the stands are so packed they can't get in for a seat.
Might be more going on out there than it is over here.
Because of where the hold was, it knocks the ball back quite a ways, and it's going to be a long pass. Stankavich looking deep, trying to get it to Loy. Beautiful play by McCoy to bust it up, though. Reaching his right arm in there to knock the ball away. He gets some high fives from teammates after making that big defensive play. Otherwise, that had 72-yard touchdown pass written all over it.
And McCoy did a fantastic job that time because another well-thrown ball by Stankavich. He laid that one right in there, and you just want great coverage to wind up killing a great play, and that's exactly what McCoy did there. Fantastic play by Chris.
Stankavich gets the snap, fakes the handoff, looks for another pass, pump fake. Now he'll look deep again. He wants it, throws it down the field, incomplete. Open on the play was Earl Gill IV, and he just mistimed the ball. Went to go clasp his hands around it, just missed it. Fell right in between the breadbasket and into the ground. Stankavich can't be happy about the incomplete pass there. See, lofted that one up nice and easy, but Gill couldn't pull it in.
That was a wheel route that time, and Gill had Richardson defending him, but Richardson got on him late. And that wheel route coming out of the backfield should have worked that time, Walter, for a long play, but it was simply the receiver's fault.
Stankavich, four receivers, one blocker in the backfield again, gets the snap. He wants to pass again, looks downfield, stays in the pocket, throws it across the middle. It is caught at the 50-yard line. And then delivering the hit for Cedar Ridge was Julius Walton, but able to hold on to the ball for the catch on the play for Cardinal Gibbons was Earl Gill IV, redeeming himself for that drop a few moments ago.
Well, Cedar Ridge almost had its first three and out defensively of the game, but they couldn't quite get it after that pickup to the Red Wolf 48.
First and 10. Same set for Cardinal Gibbons with those four receivers, but they'll hand it off this time. Going up the middle, off the right tackle. And not much room to operate there for David Smith, the 5'9" junior. Just didn't ever have a lane to get his feet up and just made it back to the line of scrimmage. He'll bring up second and 10.
Ben Rice, Walter wound up stepping right in his way, and he put the helmet right in his shoulder. Brad Beddington came over to assist on the tackle.
5:44 to play. Here's the snap. Stankavich will run the option, pitches it out to the left side, up to the 45. On the play goes David Smith, and he'll actually just kind of pull up. Didn't want to absorb any contact there before he got to the 45, at the 46, and he'll bring up third down.
Ben Rice once again led the charge, and he's made a couple plays now where he's had a lot of room to run on the outside, and he's managed to find the ball carrier a lot better than he did in the initial stages of this game. So now a 3rd and 8, Cedar Ridge looking for its first defensive stop in this game. They're down by 28 points.
Cardinal Gibbons did go for it on 4th down earlier in the contest and converted it and eventually scored a touchdown. Stankavich throws across the middle of the field. He's got a man out there. It is almost picked off. McCoy got his hands on it, knocked the ball down. The pass was intended for Peyton Offnick, the running back coming out of the backfield looking for the reception. But McCoy was there first. I would say that's the first bad pass Stankavich has thrown tonight. He laid that one up there too soft across the middle of the field.
Stayed in the air way too long, and McCoy could have easily picked that one off if he wasn't running from across the field. He was playing free safety, and Cardinal Gibbons keeping the offense on the field.
They're going to go for it on 4th and 8 here, needing to get to the Cedar Ridge 38 for a first down. Stankavich rolls to his right, throws the pass. He's got a man out there, only 3 more yards to get the first down, and he does. They convert on 4th and 8 with a pass play out to the right side. Making the catch was Christopher Gorman.
And Gorman has been the go-to guy whenever Cardinal Gibbons has needed something big, and it turns into a first down.
So they do get the ball to the 34-yard line. 1st and 10. Stankavich in there at quarterback. He'll hand it off to Offnick up the middle. Goes in between two Red Wolves players. Now we've got a flag coming in back behind the play as the ball advanced to the 28-yard line in Cedar Ridge territory, but it's going to come back because of holding.
And this is going to be a couple of yards behind the line of scrimmage. It looks like maybe 1 yard.
4:27 to play in the second quarter. 35-7 is our score.
We'll get some more scores here in just a moment.
Coming up on halftime, we'll give you stats from our game here, scores from around the area. And we'll talk a little UNC-ECU football.
That's right.
Big in-state rivalry game going on this weekend.
Didn't take long for the ACC Coastal Division race to get interesting again, did it?
No, it most certainly didn't. Very surprised that Georgia Tech lost last night.
Was surprising. Bud Foster actually was complaining leading up to that game about having only 5 days to prepare for the Yellow Jackets. But once again, he did a stellar job, and once again, Virginia Tech has thrown the ACC Coastal race wide open.
We'll elaborate on that during the halftime show. Here's the snap after the ball is knocked all the way back to the 45-yard line, and then the ball is loose and down on the ground, but they will say an incomplete pass on the play, not a fumble, as Stankavich, kind of an odd broken play there as he was scrambling around inside the pocket.
Matt Murdy rushed him, and it was a strange-looking play. Stankavich came forward, and then he lost the ball, but clearly his arm was going forward, so that was the right call for an incomplete pass.
4:14 to play. It'll bring up second down and 20 to go.
Call it second and 22, actually.
Here's the snap. Stankavich drops back. Ooh. Gets some good blocking in the backfield. Plenty of time to pass. Throws across the middle. Loy with the catch. Running afterward. Breaks two tackles. Fumbles it. Ball's on the ground. Cedar Ridge trying to jump on top of it. Possibly the first turnover of the game. And it's Cedar Ridge football with 4:02 to play.
And coming up out of there with it was 44. That was Dante Scott, who recovers the fumble by Foyt.
And the man who forced it was Harvin Allison, senior linebacker. So a good defensive stop by Cedar Ridge. Shooting themselves in the foot was Cardinal Gibbons, having to try and convert from 22 yards out to try and get a first down, and that extra pressure helped lead to the turnover. So Cedar Ridge, can they get on the board again before the end of the half? That's the question with under four to play. It'll be a run play on first and 10 across the 35-yard line down at the 38. Walton with the run. Pick up a five. Needing to get to the 43 for a first down with 3:45 and counting to play. No timeouts have been taken in the game so far.
No.
All teams with three timeouts.
Good news for Cedar Ridge. 61 yards rushing there on pace for a season high.
Here's the handoff. It'll go to Walton again. Not as much room to maneuver this time, as he only gets a yard on the play up to the 39.
And, of course, all this set up by the fine play by Dante Scott to fall on that loose football.
Cedar Ridge player slow to get up after he was on the bottom of the pile. Finally up onto his feet after the officials blow the clock dead.
That was Jeff Williams, who's an offensive lineman, coming up gimpy, and he will have to exit the game. In his place will come number 70, Bailey Ortiz, 5'8", 237-pound junior.
Big dude will replace him at right guard.
He's a junior.
3:15 to play in the second quarter. Third down. Big play here for Pappas. He'll throw it downfield looking for McCoy. It's almost intercepted. I don't know how he ended up dropping that on the play. As elevating to get the ball was Stephen Albright. And Albright seemed to already be running the other direction with the ball for about 5 yards before it eventually popped out.
He read that play perfectly because he could tell it was going to be a screen pass coming out of the backfield, another one of those wheel routes. And that time, Albright, as you mentioned, Walter, took 3 steps down the field before he secured the ball.
He had his eyes on the end zone. So it'll be a punt by Ferris. The ball goes into the ground. He does get the punt away. It lands on the 40-yard line in Cardinal Gibbons territory and rolls downfield a little bit more. And there is a Cardinal Gibbons player getting pushed around by several of the Cedar Ridge players. The receiver, or the return man back there, kind of was sticking his nose in there, acting like he was going to pick up the ball, and Cedar Ridge didn't like that, so they barreled him out of there, said, get away from that ball. And so he has to return to the sideline. That was Gill on the play, who was the return man. So 35-7, that offensive possession for Cedar Ridge didn't last very long, Jeff, and now plenty of time on the clock for Cardinal Gibbons to operate with 2:55 remaining in the quarter.
It's just a matter of when Stankavich is going to go out of this game, because Cardinal Gibbons has had the upper hand in this one from the word go.
This has certainly been one of our longer first halves of the season because of all the scoring and first downs. Five receivers, man comes in motion near number two. That man in motion, it's Gill. He'll run up the left sideline across the 50, down to the 45, flag down on the field, back behind the play as he gets inside the 30-yard line, but this one may be coming all the way back. And it does. It's a holding call, and it's going to be right at the line of scrimmage, it looks like, where they're going to mark it. So it's going to bring up first and 20 after the accepted penalty.
And there have been a horde of holding penalties, if you will, against the Crusaders. And that's really been the only thing holding them back. Now, you can bet that one thing that Coach Stephen Wright wants to do is prepare his team for what's ahead, because they won't be this easy going forward, especially when you have Southern Durham coming up, Northwood, and, of course, the Orange team, which is at last word leading Northwood by 27 in Pittsburgh. Would have never expected that.
Not that margin, at least. Certainly you would have thought Orange could compete there tonight.
Sure.
But not the margin, and that's the impressive thing.
And there are a lot of different types of football offensively among the solid teams in this league, Walter.
It's a very good point. You see a good mix of offensive schemes. It'll be a pass to the check down receiver, and it gets to the 30-yard line. Very small pickup of 2 yards on first down there on first and 20. So it'll continue to wind the clock with 2:20 to play, and now a timeout will be called. Official timeout. Oh, as there's a play down in Payne at the 30-yard line.
And it is 33, I believe. That's Harvon Allison down for Cedar Ridge.
Defensive lineman, and he is laying on his stomach. Seems to be in a bit of pain. He is moving his legs, but moving them in pain, pounding them on the ground. So with 2:20 to go, they're going to try and lift him up here, see if he's able to get to his feet. Otherwise, we'll take a break. No, he comes up to his feet, and you're right. And he will trot off under his own power. Probably got the wind knocked out of him. Seemed to be the position that he was curled in. So with 2:20 remaining, 35-7 is our score, Jeff, as the Crusaders benefit from getting the clock stopped there by the official timeout.
They do, and they still have all three of their timeouts remaining here, Walter, with 2:20 remaining. This is a field turf surface here. It's similar to what Appalachian State has, the Tampa Bay Devil Rays play in down.
It's a beautiful field.
Yeah, it's a beautiful field. It's not quite, it's not AstroTurf. It's certainly much more safe than that, but it's also not the pure ground which players usually play on.
Here's the snap for Stankavich. He wants to look downfield, throws it. Almost an incredible one-handed catch. David Smith would have been on SportsCenter Top 10 if he had hauled that in. I was about to say overthrow his receiver, but Smith, with some speed, almost was able to run underneath of it. Stankavich just a little bit too far, though. He let him there.
That was a gorgeous attempt by Smith. He could have hauled that one
in. That was pretty.
It would have brought the house down, and I mean brought the house down literally, because the fans are still packed here, even though a lot of fans have decided to go on and start tailgating and start celebrating a victory, even though it's not halftime yet.
Kind of like Chris Carter when he was on NFL Today the other day, just grabbing balls with one hand, spitting them out of the machine. It's kind of like that. He's going to try to go downfield again. Marquez Hunter gets in there. Did he pick it off? Yes, he did. Marquez Hunter slides under the receiver on the long pass downfield on his own 34-yard line and slipped in there to grab the ball away. Similar to how he tried to grab the ball away earlier on the first touchdown of the game and tied up with the receiver and couldn't hustle it away from him. This time he's able to wrestle it away, and he gets the interception with 2:06 to play. Another turnover, the second of the quarter against the Crusaders.
And it's the second as many drives for the Crusaders here, as things have gotten a little bit sloppy on their end. But that was some play by Hunter, as he simply beat the receiver to the ball.
Now they'll hand it off to Walton coming near side. Oh, he trips over his own feet as he was trying to stutter past some defenders, and he is stopped at the 36. Gain of 2 on the play. So with 1:55 and counting, it's still 35-7, but the Cedar Ridge defense forcing 2 turnovers on the past 2 drives. Cardinal Gibbons converting their first 5 drives for touchdowns, but have been stymied on the past 2.
Jeff Williams did a good seal block that time, and that actually gave Walton an edge. Too bad he tripped over his own feet. He could have had more.
Pappas to pass, nowhere to operate, and he goes down to the ground very quickly as he gets swarmed under. Again, tracing him down all night has been Michael Benvenuto when he got him that time.
Yeah, Benvenuto with a bull rush that time along the left side. He managed to beat Williams and Sam Stewart along that left side of the line. Looks like they've been double-teaming him at various points after the early start that Benvenuto wound up getting in this game.
Cedar Ridge is going to call a timeout with 1:07 to play. They'll have a big third and long coming up momentarily. You're listening to High School Football on WCHL and Chapelboro.com.
I'm Edward Holmes, president of Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. By now, you've heard about our fountain drinks made with 100% filtered water served at a chilly 34 degrees with our chewy ice. They're guaranteed to taste great and only 79 cents every day. Right now, we're giving you the opportunity to win free fountain drinks for a year. Simply visit our Facebook page and look for the contest icon. Contest runs through September.
Cruisers, good to go.
Walter Storholt and Jeff Hamlin with you here. Glad that you've tuned into us on chapelboro.com for the broadcast tonight. Hopefully you're enjoying the broadcast on WCHL as well. Tuning back and forth between the two, that's the way to spend your Friday night, enjoying some of the great action going on over at Northwood High School. Surprising score that we got there most recently. We do want to let you know that we post the whole games from both here and Raleigh tonight, and you'll also be able to hear the other game over at Northwood. Be able to get the both of those games shortly after the conclusion of each contest on chapelboro.com. More on that at halftime. Here's a pass to the running back on the play, Walton. He gets past the line of scrimmage, trying to get back to the original line of scrimmage. He's just shy. It's going to bring up 4th and 11, and they're going to have to pass this, and the Crusaders want to call a timeout. They didn't like how that two-minute offense went last time out on the field. So with 50.1 seconds to play, they're going to call a timeout. And, you know, some people, Jeff, might say you're up 35-7. You're obviously going to win the game against Cedar Ridge here tonight. The pounding will probably continue in the second half. But and some people would complain, why are you calling a timeout here in the second quarter? I have no issues with any team trying to. You can't play down to your competition in situations like this. You have to continue to run your offense, work on scenarios and that kind of thing, and that's what they're doing here.
Well, certainly, and this is a game situation when you get right down to it, and the big game's coming up here very, very quickly for this Cardinal Gibbons team, because you can't take anything for granted in a conference this deep. Even though your team's up by 4 touchdowns tonight, you're going up against a Chapel Hill team in a few weeks that just got its best skill player back, and let's face it, you got Webb next week, and then after that, you have a monster of a lineup to finish the year. We'll get to that in a moment.
Ferris will punt this one away from his own 20-yard line. Kicks it down the field. Bounces another great bounce for Cedar Ridge as it bounces the 42 and rolls its way all the way to the 30, where Cedar Ridge will touch it up with 37.3 seconds to play here in the second quarter and in the first half. So we'll see what kind of arms Stan Cavage brings out onto the field. He's tried a couple of deep passes on the past two drives, and he's had some real home run looking type plays just not quite come together, but maybe they'll get one here with 37.3 to go.
And certainly he can lead an offense of this caliber. Talked about his family lineage. We'll get to that in just a second here as we have whistles. His mother was Sue Walsh, as we have a timeout called by Cedar Ridge. Stan Cavage's mother, Sue Walsh, arguably the greatest swimmer in ACC history, wound up winning multiple national championships while playing at UNC, and his father, of course, went to several bowl games, the Blue Bonnet Bowl that used to be played at the old Astrodome in Houston. He played with our old boss, Walter Sturtevant, at one point in time, did Mr. Stan Cavage under Dick Crum. So he's got a son that is upholding the family name, and it was a question of whether Mr. Stan Cavage here, Sean Stan Cavage, wanted to keep playing because he didn't want to feel any pressure, and his family certainly didn't put any pressure on him to play athletics, but he wanted to keep going. He thought he'd be a good soccer player, and he played that, but he realized after a little bit of time that his love was in football. Played some JV basketball here at Cardinal Gibbons, but of course now a lot of FBS and FCS level schools looking at him for his exploits on the gridiron, Walter, and we can certainly understand why after this performance.
He's been impressive tonight. Three receivers to his left as we resume play with 37 seconds to go in the second quarter. He's going to have to run out of trouble looking for the sideline. Oh, he's going to turn it upfield to the 50, the 45, 40, and finally pushed out of bounds right around the 40-yard line. Thought he was going to just dance out of bounds for only a small game, but instead he was able to get the edge and turned it upfield. And in exactly 10 seconds, makes his way across midfield to the 42-yard line in Cedar Ridge territory.
Yeah, he was down, no question about it, but he still managed to get away. And, boy, what a run that time it was for Stan Cavage.
We haven't seen his legs a lot tonight. He's used them throughout the season, but he hasn't had to tonight. And stepping into the neutral zone is a Cedar Ridge player. And putting his hands on his helmet after making that infraction was Matt Murdy, who's made a lot of good plays tonight. Has no reason to be upset with himself there, just trying to be aggressive on that defense. It's going to make it first and five now as the ball comes across the 42, the 37-yard line. 27.7 seconds to go. It's a 28-point lead for the Crusaders. Trying to make it 35 before halftime. Plenty of time to operate with here. Here's the snap. Stankavich drops back to the 45, flushed out of the pocket to his right. He will throw on the run. Caught along the sideline and getting at least 1 foot in bounds on the play was the receiver.
And I believe that was Gorman once again.
Gorman's been the go-to guy.
If you weren't, I'm sorry, DiMaggio.
DiMaggio with the catch. If you weren't listening to us earlier, beautiful uniforms for the Crusaders, but it's black uniforms with green, dark green lettering.
Yes.
Very difficult to read from any sort of distance. So we do apologize with the ball on the far side of the field. We can't usually make heads or tails of the number. 20.3 seconds to go after the stop clocks, after the player got out of bounds. Stankavich with another throw from inside the 20 across the middle of the field, looking in the end zone, goes off the fingertips of the defender. It was on the play Walton, the defensive back, able to get his hands on it. Stankavich taking a few chances. I guess when you're up this much, that's probably why we've seen the interception and and some of the balls get deflected by Cedar Ridge defenders. He's just taking chances, trying to make the pretty play and thread it in there with 15.2 seconds to go now.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if they keep throwing the ball down the field, but actually the reason why we've seen the turnovers is because Stankavich has thrown the ball deeper as this game has gone on. Earlier we just saw laterals and swing passes.
High snap, Stankavich handles it easy with that 6'3" frame, lofts it into the air over top the intended receiver. Loy jumped up in the air, but it was way over his fingertips, and again it was dangerously falling close to some Cedar Ridge defenders. Unfortunately, there wasn't anybody there to pick it off for the Red Wolves. They kind of had built a circle around where the ball landed.
Brad Bunnington got in that time on a pass rush, Walter, and he nearly caused the interception there by Stankavich. And now Coach Stephen Wright will call a timeout. One remaining here for the Crusaders here in the first half with 10 seconds remaining. So you get that timeout, that allows you a little more latitude when it comes to play calling because you can still throw a ball and not have it go in the end zone to stop the clock if they're going for a touchdown here.
10.1 seconds on the clock. Up on the iTunes podcast for WCHL and Chapelboro is The Grit, the weekly show that you can hear with Matt Oakes, talking to local coaches, getting you ready for the games each week, talking about the recent happenings in local high school football in the Orange County area. You can check that out again on chapelboro.com and the iTunes for WCHL. Also, after the game, both of these contests will be put up in their entirety for you to listen to as well. If you want to go back and relive some of the great moments for Cardinal Gibbons and a couple that Cedar Ridge has had tonight, vice versa, you can do the same thing for the Orange game tonight against Northwood.
And it'll be on iTunes Essentials, I believe, too. They'll have it right beside the death metal and beside, you know, exercise, workout, Lady Gaga, they'll have WCHL High School Sports. I believe that's a whole new genre.
It's a whole new iTunes Essentials.
Yes, that's right.
Excellent.
If not, it should be.
I'm sure you're the author of a few Essentials on iTunes.
Yes.
10 seconds to play. They're going to run a trick play here as they will hand it off to DiMaggio. He throws into the end zone, tipped into the air, and intercepted. Did he hold on to it and stay in bounds? No. They'll say Cedar Ridge fell out of bounds as trying to grab it was Walton after the deflection with 2.6 seconds to go. They ran a little flea flicker play as DiMaggio came in motion towards Stankavich, and Stankavich just kind of flipped it to him. DiMaggio ran over to the side and then threw it. And so with 2.6 seconds to go, they are going to try a field goal.
And it will be a 34-yard attempt from the right hash mark.
So Loy has been very good on his extra points. He certainly has the distance. Can he put it through the uprights? The ball's on the right hash mark. Final play of the half spot is down. Kick is up, and it might be short. It tries to get there, and it ends up being wide right as well. So the field goal is no good. Cedar Ridge's defense holds at the end of the second quarter. After converting for touchdowns on their first five drives, Cardinal Gibbons comes up short on the final three. And so it's 35-7 as we enter halftime. The Cedar Ridge defense trying to build some momentum toward the second half of play. Walter Stroll, Jeff Hanlon with you here on chapelboro.com. We want to remind you that high school football on WCHL and chapelboro.com is brought to you by Mark Vitale Nationwide Insurance. in Chapel Hill. And in Hillsboro, AAI Nationwide Insurance. We'll give you some stats and scores from across the area when we come back. You're listening to WCHL and Chapelboro.com's High School Football Games of the Week.